Hello and welcome to The Key, where we discuss ways to unlock efficiencies for your drivers on the road. My name is Lee Adam, and I'm a vehicle program expert here at CarData. At The Key, we dive into the strategy behind vehicle reimbursement programs and car programs. We will discuss everything between day-to-day operations, spend optimization, and fair reimbursement. That's The Key. On today's episode, we're going to discuss the best practice for financial optimization of company vehicle policies in 2024. So today I'm joined by Corey Nowak, the VP of Finance here at CarData. Hey Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Lee.
Awesome, so great to hear it. We're very excited to have you today. And so can you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm VP Finance and Operations here at CarData. I've been here almost 3 years. One thing that I like to kind of describe myself is, you know, I'm not the traditional accountant. Mm-hmm. I'm not just a numbers guy. I do like to also take into consideration kind of the whole angle of business as well. I care a lot about our people. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason that finance and operations and really, you know, leaning into both of those angles.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, great to hear. What really made you passionate about pursuing a career in finance and optimization?
Yeah, that's a deep question of where did it all begin and why I wanted to get into finance. But really, I do love numbers. I'm a very analytical individual. But as I said, you know, as I've evolved and gone through my career, I've started more and more leaning into operations and really looking at ways that we can impact the business,
right,
both from a financial perspective and business improvement.
Right.
And improvement is both financial and people's fulfillment as a career and really helping people develop so we can get the most out of the company.
Right. Yeah, that's a really great perspective to have. Now, why do you think that your involvement as a finance leader and a leader of the business is important in vehicle policy decisions and vehicle program decisions?
So I would say at the end of the day, any vehicle program, it is a budgetary item.
Right.
So if you don't include finance, something is wrong. But that being said, is you have to include everyone. And so what I would say is keeping us involved right at the beginning is very important. And really one of the key focuses that you need to consider when designing your policy and programs is around optimization.
Right, right. And now that's a perfect segue, right? Because when making decisions about the upcoming year, there's no doubt pressure from all sides. You know, you've got a desire to keep vehicle policies competitive, to keep your drivers happy, but also, of course, to keep costs tight. So, of course, you're probably feeling the heat. So tell me a little bit about what your focus is as a finance leader in 2024.
Yeah, so right now, we're right at the start of 2024, so we're just finished the budget season of trying to figure out what 2024 will look like. So you're in those constraints and trying to figure out what will the year look like.
Right.
And so the other thing that you have to remember is that you're working with all the other teams. So really balancing that act and trying to have that flexibility while trying to make sure that you go into the year and have a successful year. So one of the key components with that is working with all of the other departments and trying to understand what they truly need. And so when building out programs, specifically a reimbursement program, you really need to understand what are the needs of each individual that's going to be on the program. And that's where it goes back to that you are trying to, at the end of the day, optimize for costs and make sure you stay within a budget.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other components that you definitely need to think of when building out, whether it's a reimbursement program or any other thing that you're trying to assign the budget to.
Right. It's a great perspective too, because although it's an everyday operational cost, it's also very key to strategy and company values and how the company approaches business and operations. So I think that's a really good perspective in understanding that these decisions are not made in a vacuum, right? Like you have a field sales team or a field service team who is extremely important to the business. So I think that's an excellent way of approaching it. And, you know, let's also discuss the state of the market, right? So the IRS standard rate is a reflection of the costs of driving across the United States, right? It's an average that attempts to encompass the operating and ownership costs associated with driving into a singular compounded rate. So with the IRS rate changing from 65.5 cents in 2023 to 67 cents, rather, in 2024, what does this really tell you about our economy today? And what do you think the implications are on businesses?
Yeah, so as everyone's been feeling it at the individual level and the corporate level,
mm-hmm.
bottom line, things are getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of pressures on companies of what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where going back to the same point of trying to optimize, but making sure that you're keeping your employees happy. So one thing to consider is, you know, going back to compensation and rewards and reimbursement, it really needs to be looked at holistically and try to see how we can use those different variables and leverage to understand and make sure that we're getting the most out of our employees, but also treating them fairly and getting them reimbursed for what they need. So that's where really working to understand each of the actual components of who's driving.
Right.
In all of our programs, you know, individuals could have different needs. You could have a driver that drives a lot, very short distances. You could have a driver that's driving very long distances. And if you go back to that IRS rate, depending on how that's built, you may be rewarding or paying more for those high drivers.
Right.
And so it's really understanding what is the use case that's happening. It's very similar to any other, I'll call it compensation, but it's kind of when you're deciding payroll and things
right.
of that nature, that any employee will have a very strong opinion of how they're being reimbursed. And that's where us as the business side need to make sure that we're considering those factors. And that's again where I lean on, this isn't just a monetary conversation,
right.
it's how it's perceived. And so really trying to make sure you're optimizing again from a cost and a budgetary perspective, but what's the ramification of some of those questions? And so as you're going through it, working with those teams is going to be very important. So that's where even when you're deciding on the program, flexibility is going to be one of the key drivers, as well as, like I said, getting information from all parties. So working with, let's say it's a sales program that
sure.
we're running this for. And so if it's an individual that is a merchandiser
mm-hmm.
driving to each of their clients, they're driving all throughout the Midwest and they're driving quite far.
Yeah.
That's going to look very different and what their needs are depending compared to someone else, maybe more on the east, that's
right,
right. shorter distance and from that perspective. And if you design the same program for both those two areas, you may have some pretty unhappy drivers. However, if you consider and take into all of that, you really can build a perfect program that not only fits within the budget and does what the business needs, but also will have a really good and be digestible and really appreciated from the driver's side.
Absolutely. It's such a good perspective, right? Really taking into account what the drivers need, what the business needs to get the job done, and applying that flexible concept to how you approach vehicle programs. I love that. Now, pairing to that, a really common question that we get in this community is, how do you know you have a problem, right? How do you diagnose it? And how do you become aware that you're either overspending, underspending, over or under serving your drivers? And you know, from a financial perspective, how can managers stay ahead of these bleeding costs potentially?
So the first thing I would say is, and again, we just finished kind of our budget season. So it's
right.
plan. Any place that you can really understand and take the time to set out and
mm-hmm.
plan appropriately is the best. But then it goes into continuous monitoring. And that's where really it's, the saying goes in finance that, you know, you don't want to just set it, set your budget and then put it in the corner. We'll look at it next year and redo our budget next year. You really need to be actively looking and reviewing. So using the data, looking at how drivers are driving, looking at what the reimbursements look like, making sure that it actually aligns with what we're trying to do.
Right.
At the end of the day, we are trying to reimburse drivers for miles they're driving, which means that if it doesn't line up with the results we're seeing, we have to adjust.
Right.
And we shouldn't be afraid to adjust midway. And we shouldn't be afraid to look at the data and see, oh, look, we may have made a mistake, but we can make those changes and see if there's a different type of program or different avenue we can go to, again, make sure that the drivers are being treated fairly
mm-hmm.
and that us, from a business perspective, are really getting the most out of our drivers and aligning with the behaviors that we want it to drive.
Yeah, it's such a good point, right? And I think this really speaks to the element of what's important when selecting a program, because you're right, it needs to fuel the business, literally and figuratively, it needs to fuel the business. But of course, there are quick wins, right? Like, you know, for example, removing your fleet or replacing your fleet rather with a reimbursement model or choosing tax optimized solutions, right? And applying an element of accountability, applying an element of a use case element, right? Or a use based element where you're capturing miles and you're seeing where people are going. I think that's a really great perspective to have to make sure that your people are taken care of, but your costs are also streamlined, as you mentioned. So an important pivot here, I think, is to discuss risk, right? Risk. Talk to me a little bit about insurance. So why, in general, from a financial perspective, is it important for drivers to have appropriate insurance coverage?
So first and foremost, as a finance individual, compliance always falls under us.
Right.
So, you know, you do have to make sure that you're covering the right regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, again, is at the end of the day, we're trying to make sure that we're keeping the business safe as well as the driver safe. So that's where it leans on where insurance does come in.
Right.
Making sure that both from a risk perspective and mitigation of risk, we have the right controls and processes in place. So it is hard, and it depends on the business of what is the right amount of insurance. It really depends on kind of what the risk tolerance of the business is. Obviously, in each state, there is a minimum required insurance.
Right.
So you can default, and that's kind of the minimum level. But I would say, depending on the appetite of the business and really the risk tolerance of the business, that's how you can decide what additional programs you may need. We do traditionally see a bit higher of an insurance. And again, that's because we want to make sure our drivers are safe, but also they are driving for work purposes. And so we want to make sure that that aligns with the level of insurance and coverage that we have. So we, again, can be confident that they can perform their roles while safely doing it.
Right. I think it's super helpful for people to hear, because a huge common question that we receive is, how do we determine this, right? How do we decide? And it seems like there's a layer of needing to have appropriate protection and compliance, but also understanding the climate and what's going on in the space, which is interesting.
And that's where, again, it would go based on the policy that they're trying to select.
Right.
That would really determine. And again, back to the type of driving they're doing. Mm-hmm. If you know that someone's driving a lot and far miles, or in, let's say, conditions that may be a bit more rough or rigid,
mm-hmm.
That may be an indicator that you really should have maybe a higher level of insurance there or better coverage. But it really depends on the situation of you know, where the driver's going, and also that tolerance from the company itself.
Right. And, you know, of course, using a verification tool to ensure that insurance is up to date continuously from a partner, for example, assists with streamlining that compliance check process and making sure that everything is solid. And, you know, speaking of data and service and ensuring compliance, you know, often partners like CarData keep market reimbursement databases of up-to-date costs of driving based on vehicle expense information, fuel costs, maintenance in different geographical areas, as well as insurance. So particularly for high mileage drivers, such as field service representatives, sales representatives with those large territories that we were talking about a little bit earlier, how should their managers really leverage their vehicle reimbursement partners to use this data, to use the technology to make better program decisions?
Yeah, that's where I would say data really helps make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you ignore and go based on gut, you may be right.
Right.
But having the toolbox and having those resources of really leading with data,
mm-hmm.
adding it to that toolbox, not just saying, oh, that's the data, I'm gonna trust it fully.
Right.
You should still, if you feel something in your gut, there may be something there. But having those resources allow you to really understand how a program or just anything in general
mm-hmm.
is really operating.
Right.
And that's where, again, going back to optimization, that if our goal here in any program, if we want to ensure that for vehicle reimbursement, for example, the goal would be is how do we fair and equitably reimburse a driver for doing his role of driving day to day?
Right.
How do we make sure that that's really reimbursing him appropriately? And so looking at the data, both from the driving behavior, so again, as you were mentioning, you know, how far they're driving and things from that matter, but really, again, diving into some of the data that we have at CarData to see how is that rate determined?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of, with some of the other programs, so if you went, let's say, with a standard IFRS rate, it doesn't really fit the persona, let's say, exactly of that driver.
Right.
So it's just saying a standard rate. Well, are they driving a truck? Are they driving a sedan? Who knows? Are they driving, are they picking much the gas? What's the rates of that in that region?
Mm-hmm.
The IRS rate is just a standard applied rate. And so using the actual data behind it can allow us to get closer to that actual representation that creates that fair environment, both for the driver and for the company. Because as a company, we don't want to be paying more cost either.
Right.
And so it's finding that balance that the other option would be, you know, if you picked an allowance program where it really is, here's a set allowance dollar per month.
Right.
There's no flexibility there. There's no, well, how do I determine if they drive less this month versus last month? If it's an allowance, I'm paying them the same amount. And so you again have that disparity between the driver who may be frustrated because last month he got the same amount but drove more this month. So again, leaning on the data that really CarData has to offer, we can design these programs that better tailor and better create that environment for really productive and satisfied on both sides. The driver will be happier because they feel and can see
right.
the rate that they're getting, And from a business perspective, we can plan accordingly and also know, again, that we're relying on industry data that better aligns with the actual environment that's taking place.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes happy employees, right? People who trust their employer that they're using fair market information. And then there's an element of satisfaction and happiness. And a lot of people might say that finance is just numbers, but I think you're really showing us today that it's not, right? Because you have to consider the impact of those numbers and whether or not people are going to be happy to work there. So
I truly think that to have a happy employee base leads to most productive business, because if the employees are productive to start, then that's how you can really get the most out of them. If you have a driver, let's say on the road, who constantly thinks he's not getting reimbursed enough and, or thinks the system isn't going towards his way, he may not behave as much in the way that we want him to work.
Right.
And even as they're doing their role, they may be thinking about that. So how do you remove that element to really get people back on the road for their role, rather than considering in the back of their head of, oh, I'm driving, but is my company really taking care of me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great point. Now, pairing to this, right, I think a lot of leaders are asking themselves, how often should I be looking at this, right? Is this an everyday element? You know, what makes sense in terms of frequency of market analysis and looking at mileage totals and tax reports? So what are your advice for, you know, finance operations leaders who are looking to stay on top of these costs?
Yeah, I would definitely say review is very important. So as I said, plan, but it's also review.
Right.
That's the whole thing of kind of to that same narrative of, as you set a budget, you don't want to just stash it and say, oh, I completed the project and that's the end of it. You have to have that constant review process on it. I would say from a minimum on an annual, and that's kind of the bare bones, which a lot of people do, have kind of set it, I'll look at it next year, that was enough. But really as frequently as you can would be better. And that's where trying to, even on a monthly basis if possible, because there's always going to be things that are changing.
Right.
There's always going to be also room for improvement. And so that's where I really would drive it, is the reason for the review is also, again, to get that optimization. There might be some little things that you may be able to tweak month over month that, again, goes back to that employee satisfaction you might be able to improve, or the business optimization that you may be able to improve. But the more that you look at it and more that you ask questions about, is this working the way that I want it to?
Right.
You can find other ways that you can, again, tweak it maybe slightly and have better results.
Yeah, I think that's it's a perfect call out. And there are ways, of course, to leverage your partner, right? Like a partner like Cardata to say, okay, we've set these KPIs in place. How can we use what we know about each other and the outcomes we're trying to accomplish to make sure that not only are the managers and the administrators continuously monitoring against KPIs, but so are the partners, right? And we're putting guardrails in place to say, looks like we need a change. I think that's a really great call out. All right, now we've entered the FAQ portion of the key, where we're going to review some frequently asked questions that we're hearing from the community and the vehicle reimbursement space. So the first question is about working with HR specifically. Now, depending on the organization, we see vehicle reimbursement policies, you know, whether it's a company car or flat allowance, sometimes it lives in HR, sometimes it lives in finance, sometimes there's a fleet manager, it's very different. So how do you see daily HR operations in compensation, as we mentioned, and benefits interacting with financial planning and vehicle policy decisions from your perspective?
So one of the things that I despise most is silos. And really, it's about breaking down silos across the company. And working with HR needs to be a minimum requirement. Working with sales needs to be a minimum requirement. If you stay siloed, let's say finance is making the decision, you're already setting yourself up to not be successful. And really, I would recommend always at any opportunity, break down those silos, build the relationships, and really think cross-functional in order for anything to be successful, whether you're doing a reimbursement program or any business initiative. The more that you try to do it as one function leading the charge and kind of releasing and saying, well, we're coming in and this is what you now need to do, it's not going to be successful.
Right.
You really want to bring people in and bring people in early and build it as a team. And so HR, they know as well, like their mandate may be to get that employee satisfaction. And so if we try to do this alone in finance, you may be missing that component. There may be insights. There may be things that they can do to really ensure that success of this program. So I really would advise always include HR as much as possible. It is interesting, and I kind of always lean on that the back office, which traditionally is that finance and accounting, HR, IT, they're kind of looked at a bit on the back burner. or a bit on the, you know, on the outside.
Right.
There's an analogy that I've used before and I always like to reiterate of that. A business is like a tree and it's a living, breathing organism. You've got the marketing team and the sales team. They're really like the leaves on the top of the
right.
tree. They're flashy. Everyone sees them. They change colors. They're really cool. They draw your attention. Then you work your way down through the tree and you've got the product team. So
yeah.
that's building out the product. It's a bit less agile, but it can. It can shift to how the trends are going. If the leaves and the marketing is saying, ooh, customers really want this. Well, we can build that way. Then you get down to the roots, which is that back office. Now, although you may not see them, they're very active.
Right.
And as you know, with trees, roots go all the way. So
right.
they have that breath. They're really involved. They influence sales. They influence product. They're the stability.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, if your roots are not stable and if they're not working together and not aligned, your tree's not really going to stand up. So it is an analogy that I kind of live my life by, and that's how I like to build organizations. We really want to bring up that marketing or the finance team and bring
right.
up that back office. So that's where, kind of to the initial question, how do we involve HR? Well, HR is really supporting the full infrastructure. So if we don't include it, you're pretty much going to get a lopsided tree.
Right. Whoa, that's such a good analogy. I love that. I'm going to use that. Oh my gosh, perfect. And you know what? I think this perfectly connects to our last question of the day, which is, how do you see your role changing and the role of finance changing in general in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think finance has been evolving over time.
Yeah.
There was a report many years ago that basically said the role of an auditor, and that's where I started in financial audit at Deloitte, that role would be completely eliminated by AI. And so, as we all see different AI tools coming out,
yep.
and chatbots and ChatGPT and all these things, that the role of finance has truly evolved, and it's become less of a numbers person.
Right.
And less of, okay, give me this report. And that's where it's trending towards more of that operational business focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, from my perspective and why I've really leaned in, it's building that operational idea. How do we do change management? How do we make sure adoption is good? And it goes farther than just the numbers and considering the broader business scope and more of that strategic scope of, well, every decision I make will have an impact on the business.
True.
Like I said, if we issue a new reimbursement policy to the sales department, they'll have some comments and some feedback on it. So
oh, yeah.
just thinking of, oh, this will satisfy the budget, maybe one component, but you do need to consider the broader aspect of what does it mean from a business perspective. One thing I did want to touch on was even the types of programs that there is opportunity for, let's say, tax advantages.
Mm-hmm.
So the finance side may say, oh, this program is perfect, an allowance program. Switching from an allowance to a fixed and variable component, there may be some opportunity for tax savings, but how will that be received by the team? And how do we make sure that, yes, this is definitely the right decision for the business, we can capture all that tax waste, but how do we deliver that message? Because change is always hard for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where really evolving the finance role into more of that operational, of, okay, we're going to be dealing with lots of change management.
Right.
But we know at the end of the day, we're dealing with people.
Yeah.
And so how to be successful with the decisions we make, we have to consider that full picture.
I love that. Such a perfect perspective going into 2024. Really appreciate that. Awesome, Corey. It's been so great to talk to you today. I personally feel very refreshed. So thank you so much for joining us at The Key. Again, it's been really nice to hear your fresh perspective on how finance is growing and being collaborative and really about optimization, but from the perspective of what makes the most sense for everybody, right? Not just the business, but about your people too. Thank
exactly.
you. Awesome. That's been The Key. We'll see you next time. Drive safe.